This is Tax at the Speed of Tech, a podcast from BDO's Tax Practice. Each episode, we'll connect with inspiring thought leaders to get their take on pressing issues in tax and technology innovation, impactful trends, as well as their predictions for the future.
International tax. Just saying it strikes fear into the hearts of those who haven't dedicated their careers to it and beckons a solemn nod from those who have. The kind of nod a soldier with whom you've shared a trench with years prior would give at a chance meeting in the present. There's a twinkle of wisdom in the eyes of international tax practitioners that comes from the Herculean effort of mastering such a discipline. Perhaps I've read too much Vonnegut and Hemingway and am manifesting my own fear of international tax through their lens. Either way, comparing international tax with a romanticized war quite sums up my initial gut reaction to the discipline. Our guest today is not only a managing partner leading international tax, transfer pricing, and employer services for BDO, but she also leads our specialized tax services. As such, I have to be careful not to sing her praises too much, as one of those specialized tax services she runs is the Tax Automation and Innovation Team, of which I am a part of. Ubiquitous brown nosing aside, her perspective will undoubtedly make for an engaging and insightful conversation. The international tax community is abuzz with regulatory uncertainty, ESG and societal rallies for transparency, and of course, the digitization of data. International tax has always been complex and brimming with intrinsic, largely unmined strategic value for MNCs and governments alike. The question is not, will technology be a critical component of the path ahead? But will it impede or enable meaningful progress? I'm elated to hear the insights on all of this and more from Monica Loving, managing partner with BDO. Monica, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Chris. I'm not sure I can live up to that introduction, but it was great. I think many international tax practitioners would share the in the trenches comment that you made over the past few years.
I'm sure. Now, before we get into it, why don't you just tell everyone a little bit about yourself and your background?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you hit the nail on the head with the introduction. I lead our specialized tax services practice for BDO in the U.S. It covers 9 different business areas, which is a wide range, as you said, from our tax automation and innovation team, all of our cross-border tax services, state and local tax, and our business credits and incentives. So I like to think that it gives me a really good perspective on all that's happening all across tax. All of these areas have lots of moving pieces from a regulatory perspective in the world of change that we live in right now. But myself being an international tax practitioner at heart, I've spent about almost 25 years now in the corporate international tax space. And I still every day learn something new and continue to be amazed at how it's evolved.
My first question is a rather straightforward one, but one I'm sure that everyone listening is most eager to hear your response to. Now, when you're out in the market engaging with folks, what is top of mind for the international tax community?
It's a good question. I think, you know, if I state it really broadly, it's about change and how to manage change. International tax, if I think about the past 5 or 6 years, the continuous state of change that area of taxation has been in, it really is unprecedented. Back to Tax Cuts and Jobs Act at the end of 2017, to where we sit today in 2023 with the OECD's work on global tax reform, Pillar 1, Pillar 2, it's just been such a state of change. And so, you know, every U.S. multinational has their own specific areas that they're looking to work on that are specific to their organization. But across the board, how do we manage that change? How do we keep up with the change? What do we do to make sure that the talent in our tax department is upskilled or reskilled to meet that need? And how do we, as the stakeholders for tax in the organization, make sure that our management team also understands this state of change?
Yeah, and a big part of that how is when, right? And by my observations, right, Pillar 2 has quickly evolved from a murky premonition to a pressing call to action almost overnight. Rather than dig into the latest news and predictions on Pillar 2, I don't quite want to go down that rabbit hole. I want to keep us grounded in the technology angle. In your opinion, is the disruption from Pillar 2 and presumably most potential regulatory changes going forward tempered because departments have more tech at their fingertips? That is to say, are departments becoming more adept at change as a result of becoming more tech savvy?
So Pillar 2 will be just another one of those pivot points for the international tax community around change. And maybe just if I might level set for our audience just for a second, so that all of our listeners are on the same page, because I think
I think it helps to
set the stage for this question on technology. So, in the course of the past few years, the OECD has been working on really a very significant project, a global project, to using their, the words of their intended purpose, to level the playing field from a global tax perspective. And we saw over 130 jurisdictions come together with the OECD to adopt what is referred to as Pillar 2. And that will be putting forward the guidance, rules, and regulations to be adopted as a common framework globally across those more than 130 different jurisdictions for a global minimum tax. So there's lots of tax technical, hundreds and hundreds of pages of tax technical behind all of that. But for our listeners today, think about that, right? 130 jurisdictions coming together to adopt a somewhat common framework around taxation. So state of change in the international tax world, that gives you the baseline, 130 different jurisdictions coming together to enact within the next 1 to 2 years pretty significant changes, in some case, to their domestic tax laws to align to Pillar 2. And now our tax departments and our tax leaders in those tax departments thinking about how do we as an organization monitor, begin to implement, and ultimately adopt these rules into their tax processes in the organization. And it's a very large mountain to climb for many of them. And I think absolutely all of those tax departments are looking at technology as part of the answer. I don't think it's the only answer to how to climb that mountain, but it's a very big part of it. So it's very interesting because for those tax departments that have, I'll say, dabbled in technology and not really been a fully enabled, technology adopter within their tax department, they're seeing this as the pivot point of we've just got to go, right? We've just got to get where we need to be from a technology perspective. And the tax leaders using that internally within the organizations to the finance or accounting stakeholders to really explain why do we as a tax department need more budget around technology, right? Just think about what we need to accomplish around Pillar 2, just as one example, over the next 2 years. And we have to be enabled by technology to do that.
When I look at the response from BDO and other firms, right, everybody kind of seems to be starting with, well, what are the data requirements? What are the data sources? And I think that's the genesis of a lot of the question, is that people have gotten smarter about how to store and access and share their data. Obviously, they don't have a calculator ready to go at their fingertips for the obligations as regulation takes shape. But in terms of having data warehouses or data lakes, or even just conceiving how to get to those so they can access those pieces, or maybe having a seat at the table for their ERP implementation so it's better sensitized and managed and coded. Are folks in a better position? Like, had this happened 5-10 years ago, would the effort have been significantly greater because of that lack of technology prowess?
I think so. I think, it's just, it's really interesting in terms of, I think, if you'll call it the post-COVID era that we're in, but the time that, 2020 and 2021, in terms of just the huge increase in advancement adoption that we've seen in technology with tax departments. I think that they, from a tax department perspective, are in a place where they're ready to have the right conversations with the other other parts of their organization internally, their IT department, for example, or accounting systems specialists within their organization, to have these conversations around the data requirements for Pillar 2, because they know the right language to speak. They maybe have participated as a tax department in some of these other technology initiatives across the organization. So they have individuals within their teams that are ready to have these conversations, equipped to have those conversations, that will be able to help move the needle more quickly in terms of them getting the data requirements aligned.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's difficult as the regulation is taking shape to understand how to respond. I was proud of a personal triumph last week when the OECD responded to me on LinkedIn to confirm that we are not pronouncing the E in GLOBE for the Global Anti-Base Erosion Information Return. Every time someone said GLOBE, I would just think of Pee Wee Herman, and I couldn't shake that image, so I needed closure.
Very interesting. Yeah, see, we have a whole new vocabulary, right? We've had a new vocabulary in the U.S. Since Tax Cuts and Jobs Act in 2017. So guilty, right, has become a part of the international tax vocabulary in the U.S. And GLOBE now is on the non-U.S. front.
Yep, said with authority, GLOBE. That's right. Having worked with U.S. and non-U.S. based MNCs, I know full well that culture for technology adoption and similarly budgets for tax vary by jurisdiction globally. As we talk about Pillar 2, it's a local and a global shift. How does this disparity in technical maturity by region play out in the response?
It's an interesting question, because if we start in Europe first, which is really where we see from the past almost 10 years, the OECD being rooted in their work around Pillar 1 and Pillar 2, I think that we see our colleagues in Europe having embraced technology at a fairly rapid rate. Some of the jurisdictions in Europe moving a number of years ago now to digital taxation type initiatives for some types of their tax filings. And so I think we see a fairly mature, advanced group of technology specialists from a tax perspective around Europe that are already in action working with organizations around the data requirements for Pillar 1 and Pillar 2. As we move, I think, across the globe, that really varies in terms of that tax technical maturity. We certainly see in the U.S. a lot of focus, right? In the Americas, a lot of focus there. In LATAM, I think it's interesting, because I've noted in the indirect tax space a lot of efforts around digital transformation, and maybe not quite as much on the corporate income tax side. So I think that we will begin to see all of the jurisdictions that are expected to be a part of the adoption, those more than 130 countries, the adoption of Pillar 2. I think that we will see countries coming together, not just from the standpoint of local jurisdictions working together, but teams of technology specialists coming together on a regional basis to try to problem solve. There are certainly some types of transactions, some types of industries that are unique to certain parts of the world that we'll see those specialists come together on a regional basis. That level the playing field, I think we'll also see, not just in terms of what the OECD intended from a tax policy perspective, but I think in some ways this will level the playing field over time from a tax technology perspective, because we're all globally working around the same general playbook.
Yeah, do you think that's true for both sides of the fence? So what I mean is both the practitioners and the companies who are responding, but also the authorities and the governments who are going to be collecting and managing?
I think so. I think if you look interestingly at an example like Brazil, They, from a tax authority perspective, I believe it was in 2010, went through a very significant digital transformation as a tax authority organization, and a very high percentage, I think actually in the personal income tax side, that the statistic I've read is that all personal income tax returns in Brazil are filed digitally. There's even, you know, cloud-based and an app-based pre-populated personal tax forms, personal tax calculations that can be submitted. You know, the Brazilian tax authorities looked at that digital transformation as a way for them to streamline and to become more targeted from an enforcement perspective. So use the people time that they have in a more effective way, in a more targeted way. And I think that you'll see that with tax authorities across the globe. They will have more data at their fingertips, the more digital those tax authorities become in terms of their own systems and become, you know, more targeted with how they look at that data and, you know, in which taxpayers that they're focused on from an enforcement perspective. So I think it is very much a two-way street. We see companies really moving very fast these past couple of years, and I think even faster, maybe these next two or three years from a technology adoption perspective. And the tax authorities in many countries are right along that same journey with them.
So we kind of moved from pillar two and now getting into, you know, digital tax filings with you know, the sophistication of technology on the authority side. And certainly that's been a global trend, not necessarily a US trend. What do you see happening in the U.S.? Is that just looming? Is it likely? Is it coming? Without getting too specific, of course.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the U.S., different from many other countries across the globe, we have thousands and thousands of taxing jurisdictions. If you think down to the local level, right, state level, and then, of course, ultimately to the federal level from an Internal Revenue Service perspective, thousands and thousands of taxing jurisdictions. So I think it's a very long way away from, I think, someone coming to the point of saying that the U.S. as a jurisdiction is quite digital in terms of the filing system, just because so many of those state and local governments would need such significant additional funding to be able to get themselves to a place where they could operate in that digital world. There are certain taxing jurisdictions where it is still a very manual paper filed process for all of their tax filings. As a part of the Inflation Reduction Act, at the end of 2022, the IRS was granted significant additional funding. It's big dollars, but as we all know, technology is complex and requires significant, you know, funding at any organization's level to make enhancements. I believe the IRS was put part of their budget funding, or part of that funding from the Inflation Reduction Act, was about $4.8 billion that will be targeted toward technology enhancements, focused on IRS business systems, with, I think, a pretty significant focus on systems that would be helpful to taxpayer customer service. So I don't know that I've seen anything in terms of the IRS that funding being used for full additional you know, digital adoption of, you know, digital filings, for example. But we see that, you know, in the U.S., the IRS has that focus on technology and the focus on streamlining, right, through the use of technology and enhancing that taxpayer taxpayer service with technology.
Right. Very similar story with ESG, right? Where it's very mature and fast paced outside of the U.S. Then here in the U.S., the regulation's a little bit behind, and the technology as well. But I'm curious, in your conversations in the market, are you starting to see that change? Are you starting to see an influence on reporting and planning conversations in tax as people prepare for something with ESG? Is it having an impact yet, or is it still kind of just keeping an ear to the ground?
I would say in the US, ESG with tax is now a part of the conversation. I wouldn't say it's the driver of the conversation for most organizations. You contrast that with within Europe, ESG is really front and center as tax departments think about planning tax transparency. You know, ESG is very much front and center. In the US now, it's a part of the conversation. I think that there are organizations that look to their competitor group, right, their peer competitor group, and where those have a European focus to their competitor peer group, ESG maybe is a little bit larger part of that conversation, just because they're hearing that from their, you know, in their peer company group. There are other organizations where their focus has been on, I'll say, accuracy of reporting, right, how to get the numbers from a financial reporting perspective around tax into those financial statements in a more accurate controls-based way. But I think ESG, you know, it's something that we're watching very carefully and making sure that we're equipped from an advisor perspective to have those conversations with clients in the U.S. That'll, I think, come on the horizon over the next couple of years. We'll see it an uptick there.
So what does the future hold for the international tax community, right? I mean, there's certainly, you know, we touched on Pillar 2 is not done. That's still evolving. ESG is similarly evolving. Digital tax regimes, same, right? A lot of these things more outside the U.S. and coming in the U.S. But, you know, outside of these themes, what else do we have to look forward to on the international tax stage?
Well, what to look forward to? I think that depends on which international tax practitioner you ask that question to. Well, I think you know, as a first part of the answer to that question, I think what we'll see over the next 2 to 3 years is really settling into this new world of global minimum taxation, Pillar 2 adoption working its way across the globe, companies working through their first few reporting cycles from a financial statement reporting perspective, and then their first one or two tax return cycles through Pillar 2 reporting. So it's while those rules are continuing to evolve, companies are at the stage of modeling and analyzing and working on data requirements as it relates to Pillar 2. We're really just at the beginning. We've had so many conversations for a number of years now about global tax reform, but we're actually really just at the beginning of seeing it into action. So I would say in the short to medium term, that's really what's next for international taxes is absorbing Pillar 1 and Pillar 2. I think when you look beyond there, you know, 3 to 5 year time horizon, I think that it is about technology. I truly do see technology adoption that has come to this point, the technology adoption that will have to happen to get reporting and tax compliance in order for Pillar 2. The next stage of that is analytics, AI-enabled tools. I think the tax department of the future is absolutely a very technology-enabled tax department, especially for the large multinational companies. And I think they're very much using technology to get the insights that they need to inform the business. Tax very much being a part of those business conversations with now the time that they have through the use of technology. I think it, you know, BDO, we have a concept that we talk about in our global tax organization called the tax advisor of the future. And we think about as we train our professionals, as we educate our professionals about, you know, all of the various tax technical areas everyone needs to be up to speed on. We talk about the concept of advisor of the future. The tax advisor of the future needs to be providing business insights using technology, stepping away from, the heavy tax technical advice that maybe some of us grew up at the earlier points in our career giving. We're focused now on those insight-driven conversations, and that's absolutely using technology. I think the international tax practitioner of the future is using all of this data that's going to be coming with Pillar 2 country-by-country reporting, all of the other areas of international taxation that we've been grappling with over the past couple of years. It's now time to put that data to use.
Yeah, and you mentioned AI there. I don't want to gloss over that point. I mean, as we record this here in April of 2023, right? We're still figuring out what it means to embrace things like ChatGPT and what it's going to do to the profession, to audit, to reporting. I know BDO, like many others out there, are kind of appropriately trying to figure out in parallel the security aspects and all of that, as well as, what are some tangible use cases and what impacts are we going to feel from this from an international perspective? If there's anything you can share, is there anything that or any conversations you've had to try and pontificate on how that might play a tangible role in the international tax preparation and reporting?
Yeah, I think there absolutely is a role, and as you said, we're all thinking about what that is and how we do that in the best way. But actually, to give a very simple example that all of us who work in the international tax space struggle with, maybe even on a weekly basis sometimes. Right, we're talking about many different countries around the globe, each of whom operate in potentially a different language. Right, so as we look at data. Right, we talk about organizing data in a global data set, but when you get down to its most granular level, say in a company's statutory books, for example, right, that's not in the language of, say, the parent company organization. And how do we, as international tax practitioners, work together with our colleagues and other parts of that organization to digest that data, do what it needs to happen from for reporting perspective, if we're not able to understand it? Well, AI, right, we can instantly understand all of that granular level data that comes to us in, maybe 100 different languages within the organization.
Yeah, it's going to be transformative, that's for sure. Is there anything we haven't covered today that deserves attention with regards to international tax and technology?
It's been a great discussion. I think the one part that we didn't talk about is the talent angle. So we've talked a lot about technology, but from a talent perspective, I think the technology angle is ensuring that everyone who practices, whether that's in the advisory space or within a tax department or those aspiring to be a part of the international tax community, right, who are in their studies right now, technology is here. It's here to stay. It's not a shiny object that we don't need to focus on for the long term. And I think that reskilling or upskilling of our talent from a technology perspective is really critical for success in international tax. It just has to be a part of what everyone does going forward. We're going to learn and evolve from a technology perspective, absolutely, with Pillar 2 as that comes into the play for the next couple of years, but that tax technology just needs to become another feather in the cap of the tools that an international tax practitioner has.
Do you foresee a bottleneck in finding those unicorns who are going to know both the intricacies of international tax as well as technology?
Well, I think we need to make more unicorns, right? I think we need to create them, right?
Sure.
If we can find those unicorns, then I think it's all about bringing forward the next generation of professionals. I think that many university students in tax and accounting programs already have a heavy emphasis on technology as a part of their curriculum, and all of us need to continue to foster that as a part of what what we do in terms of on-the-job training. I think it's kind of interesting because this is an opportunity for those professionals that may be a little bit earlier in their career to train the trainers, right? To do some education of those around them on the power of technology. Don't be afraid to speak up, right? When you've got a new and innovative idea on how to do something differently using technology, share that with your team, share that with those that you work with to be able to spread that knowledge. So I think it's all about not just finding those that have the technology experience, but finding those who are wanting to train and teach and share that technology experience to spread that across the international tax community.
Funny enough, this evening, I'm actually heading to my alma mater, to Fairleigh Dickinson University, to talk to their five-year master's in accounting program, where they have an analytics and technology class to talk about some of the things that we do. So it's definitely at the collegiate level, they're reinforcing that technology angle. I'll make sure to put in a plug for international tax.
Please do, yes.
Well, Monica, this certainly has been a fantastic conversation. I'm a little bit disappointed that it's audio only, so that the listeners won't be able to see how we color coordinated our nautically themed outfits here today. But regardless, I think everyone will enjoy your insights, and I thank you so much for participating.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Tax at the Speed of Tech, a BDO podcast. If you like the show, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Head to BDO.com to access resources cited in this episode and learn more about BDO's approach to tax innovation. If you have any questions or comments about the podcast, or if you want to discuss your organization's tax technology strategy, send us an email at tax@thespeedoftech@BDO.com.